I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB weekdays here, 9 to 11 o'clock for the stories behind the stories, the truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, and the ridiculous two-party propaganda. This is Central Mississippi Safe Space here for independent thinkers. Today is Friday. So on Friday, we got a couple of segments here. And we do my False Flag Friday segment every Friday. Been doing it for about a year now. I think it becomes more topical, more important, more necessary. It becomes more necessary just about every single week. I don't know, with all of the headlines, particularly over the Epstein deal, and the census deal, the other political theater stories that are put in front of us. I don't know if people are paying attention, but the Iran deal is not over. It's actually heating up to a degree. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Are we witnessing some events that are going to lead us to a war with Iran, or is Trump going to stick to his guns and keep us out of that? We'll talk about that next hour, and then we'll finish up this week's show with a look back at some of the lunatic left. I'm telling you, if we will just have a little bit of patience, unfortunately, we may not have the luxury of patience, but the left is going to be gone soon. Now, take my word for it. It's going to take a while, possibly a generation or two. I'm not saying this is anything that's going to happen anytime soon, but there's more evidence that we won't be dealing with the lunatic left for that much longer. For you young people out there who see the insanity, you may benefit from it. So have some patience. I've really got kind of a whole hodgepodge of things to talk about today. I wanted to know what people think about Trump not issuing an executive order on the citizenship question. I read a lot about that last night, got a clip from him today. He's right on that issue, but I'm curious to know what people think about the way it's been handled. But on the way into the studio, I guess, it's always interesting. I try to get in here early-ish. Was running a little bit late today, talking to somebody on the phone. Wasn't paying attention to the news. By the time I get into the studio, Alexander Acosta has resigned. I think that's a great move. I think it's the right thing to do. You know, I've taken some heat from people, and I've seen a lot of people say that this is just a way to get at Trump and these kinds of things. You know, and I've not called for Alexander Acosta to go to prison. I don't think his career should be ruined. But I think if you were involved in the cover-up of a serial pedophile sex trafficking ring, maybe you just disqualify yourself from one of the highest offices in the land. I don't see what's controversial about that idea. There's only a handful of people that get to be in the cabinet of the United States. This is the tippy top of our system. And it seems like there should be some disqualifying things. Now, the defense of Alexander Acosta has been, well, it wasn't his choice alone. He got pressure from above and these kinds of things. Well, I'll grant you that. That's true. Unfortunately for him, his time and his position at the time, he was put into a situation where he was forced to be a part of this cover-up. We're going to play some clips about that. Because the question is, who ordered Alexander Acosta to cut the deal with Jeffrey Epstein? We got some of his clips from his press conference yesterday, along with some reporters talking about the story that we'll get into in just a second. You know, if somebody is promoted through a corporation, end up being promoted to a very high level, but their boss makes a mistake and their division loses a lot of money and possibly they get laid off. It's not their fault. It's just bad timing. But we don't cry for them. I mean, we are sorry to see them lose a job, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, this to me is a man, Alexander Acosta, that was holding a job and he is having to account for something that happened a while ago that just disqualifies him for that job, he'll be fine. It was really why, and this is a throwaway. I got into a heated discussion the other day with Brian, who I just love. We can agree to disagree, as we said on the phone, about this situation where he said that he thought Alexander Acosta should keep his job until some of the big guys are brought down, then maybe deal with him. And the thing is that we need to be able to learn how to walk and chew gum at the same time. If there's some low-hanging fruit, some people that can pay a price for what was obviously a travesty of justice. And again, we are talking about young girls here to you guys and moms out there. I mean, is this not something where we should have zero tolerance for any malfeasance, any corruption whatsoever? Yeah, there's theft and there's other things. There's white-collar crime. We shouldn't tolerate those kinds of things either. As a libertarian, I say there should be no force or fraud on anybody. We've got way too many laws. We incarcerate too many people for nonviolent things. But there are certain things that you would think there would be zero tolerance for. Yet we have lived through decades now, decades, pretty much since I've been an adult, where we have really allowed a lot of abuse of children to just really be kind of talked about, yet nothing done about it. You look at the Catholic Church, who has been found to have moved priests who were abusing young boys from parish to parish. They just moved them out of the way. And I don't know, you know, I was thinking about this. I can't remember what spurred it, but I was thinking, you know, I don't know, has anybody within the Catholic Church that was complicit in this, what was a large scandal within the church? Nothing against you if you're Catholic. Has anybody gone to jail over that stuff? It seems like we have really kind of let the children down. We have allowed, you know, while the police are out there throwing people into cages for possessing a plant, we've got children. They're being trafficked in this country. You would think as a nation as powerful with as much surveillance as we have here, with as many law enforcement officers, you would think at the very least, maybe we would divert resources from a guy growing a plant in his backyard and maybe instead focus on child trafficking. Yet child trafficking remains a problem in the United States. And it's the attitude where we just say, wow, oh, that's really terrible. What a horrific story about Epstein. What a horrific story about the Catholic Church. But we don't follow it up. We don't demand heads on a platter for this stuff as a society. And it seems like one of the most basic things, a country of grown-ups who profess to love our children and want to protect the innocent, particularly on our side of the fence, which is pro-life and protecting the innocent and the unborn. We should be protecting the born as well. With zero tolerance, that's my opinion, is zero tolerance. Alexander Acosta, sorry. Maybe you got dealt a bad hand. Unfortunately, you were rising through the ranks of politics during the time the Epstein came, and this case got dropped on your desk, and you were the one forced to be the public face of a deal used to cover up for co-conspirators. Did he ask for it? I don't know. I doubt it. But he was involved in it. He had a chance to be a whistleblower. He had a chance maybe to continue to pursue justice after that. Maybe to say that maybe just Epstein didn't get a private suite at the jail. Maybe he didn't get 12 hours a day in work release where he could go to his opulent office and spend his days. There was a lot about this, whether it's Alexander Acosta's fault or not, there's a lot about this that stinks, and unfortunately he's in it. Anyway, he's resigned. But I want to play, when I come back, a few clips from his press conference, some things from reporters. There's a woman, I believe Conchita Sarnoff, I believe she is the first woman that originally reported on this story for Vanity Fair. This was back in 2002 or 2004, I can't remember exactly, she may say in this clip. She brings up some interesting points that shows you how big this stuff gets. And as somebody who spends a lot of time on this show trying to explain to you that the system is corrupt, it's not about R's or D's behind their name. It is about the corruption at the top of the system, because people have got to understand this Jeffrey Epstein stuff was discovered during a Republican administration. And I've asked the question over and over again, if this was purely a Democrat issue, why didn't the GOP jump all over this and exposed the Clintons and Epstein's dealings with all of the Democratic politicians and policymakers. If this was just because it's being sold to us as a Democrat issue, and yes, there are a lot of Democrats waiting in this Epstein controversy. But if this was discovered, and politics is as we're told, see, my theory is this. So much of the fighting that we see public is theater for the masses. And it's on steroids right now. Nothing fires up the left more than Donald Trump. And nothing fires up the right more than the left and the media's reaction to Donald Trump. I mean, it's beautiful. It is beautiful for keeping us in our corrals. But if we are to believe that these two parties in Washington, D.C. just are ready to do battle all the time, then why in the world was this Jeffrey Epstein thing under the George Bush administration and Justice Department not a big deal? Seems like a political slam dunk to me. I think that's a question worth asking. It's not one I hear very often, but there's a couple of names mentioned in this first clip when I come back from the original author of the Epstein piece in Vanity Fair that I just think are worth considering. Stick around. I'll do that next.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
I've got several clips. Yesterday, Alexander Acosta gave his press conference. I guess he was attempting to explain. Look, I'm sure Alexander Acosta didn't want to do what he did. Who wants to be a part of the Jeffrey Epstein story in any way, unless you are a whistleblower? He said that weren't for the Justice Department that Jeffrey Epstein would have gotten no time, but we know the fix was in for there. I'm going to get to a clip in just a second that I think really calls into question who all's involved in this thing. Here's the depressing thing. How long we've been talking about this Epstein thing? I've been talking about it on the show for at least since the Miami Herald story came out. I don't know if that was 6 or 8 months ago. But for 5 days. And almost as more facts come out, the more worried I am that we're not going to reach any substantive conclusion on this, because I think this thing might be so big that we'll just never find out who was at the top of it. Anyway, Alexander Acosta yesterday was asked about the co-conspirators, and this was his answer.
I wanted to ask and follow up with your answer to the earlier question about the potential co-conspirators. Were you confident at the time that any potential additional co-conspirators didn't commit sexual abuses against underage girls like Epstein did, even if it may not have been at the same scale, because some of those victims have accused others of doing similar acts to them?
So let me see how I can address your question without running afoul of Department of Justice guidelines. If my office had been aware of individuals who committed acts such as sexual abuse, you know, my office, it would not have been my position that those individuals should have been part of that kind of immunity. It's not even an immunity deal. Should not have been part of that paragraph. And so I know that there are a lot of rumors about who those individuals may or may not be. I think those rumors are misconstruing the acts of the office with respect to that particular paragraph.
Now, what that said to me was, well, number one, he can't talk about it. Number two, if you were seeking to find out who the co-conspirators are, if you want to find out who else was involved in this, do you think you'd do it with a 13-month work release sentence? Jeffrey Epstein was given such a sweetheart deal, then there was no reason for him to give up anybody else. There was no pressure applied to him whatsoever. Now, people will say, well, this is the best that they can do, but by all accounts, the evidence that the Palm Beach police had done after a six-month extensive investigation that, of course, the Democrats tried to stall in Florida. We know why they tried to stall it, right? We know that this Democrat prosecutor in Palm Beach, Florida, just being a bizarre, corrupt place in their many of their areas with Democratic control. I mean, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is from Florida. So that's all we really need to say. They had enough evidence. Ann Coulter brought this up the other day, said that the investigation was huge. But Jeffrey Epstein was given such a light sentence that it was easy for him to stay quiet. And I think that's one of the problems. Now, let's see. Epstein was also asked about the idea of there being an intelligence aspect to this. It's been reported that during the vetting process for him to be labor secretary within the White House, the transition team said, you know, what about this this Epstein deal? Is that going to be a problem? And he said, well, really, this was above my pay grade, which I believe. I don't believe he made this decision. And he said, I was told to back off. And I was told to leave Epstein alone because he was part of intelligence. So a reporter did ask him about this yesterday. And you want to hear a big, fat non-answer? Here it is.
Secretary, were you ever made aware at any point in your handling of this case if Mr. Epstein was an intelligence asset of some sort?
There has been reporting to that effect. And let me say, there's been reporting to a lot of effects in this case, not just now, but over the years. And again, I would hesitate to take this reporting as fact. This was a case that was brought by our office. It was brought based on the facts. And I look at that reporting and others. I can't address it directly because of our guidelines. But I can tell you that a lot of reporting is just going down rabbit holes. A few more questions.
That's a complete non-answer. I mean, an absolute non-answer. Now, that is probably one of the linchpins of this case. Was this actually some kind of a honeypot sting operation, a blackmail operation, and all signs point to yes? Now, let me find the clip that I thought was really interesting about this. This is the woman who originally wrote the story for Vanity Fair. Then I believe Jeffrey Epstein went to the editors of Vanity Fair, and they took out a lot of the things that were most damaging to him. But she's done some investigation in this. I want you to listen to some of the players that were saying, we're not going to pursue this Jeffrey Epstein thing. This is back in, I don't know, 2005. She may recount the years. I've been listening to so much of this stuff, the years get jumbled in my brain. But we'll listen to her. And I want you to listen to some of the names because, again, I am fighting this idea that this is a partisan issue. I heard one psychologist or somebody talking to some expert on human trafficking talking about the fact that this was the pedophilia and these sex trafficking rings and abusing people in sex trafficking cases was, she made it sound like it was exclusively the area of rich, white, privileged men, which I thought, oh my gosh, we're going to bring privilege into this. We're going to make this a race issue. Yeah, there's never been a black pimp ever in the history of the world. So now it may become some kind of a racial issue. This may be used by social justice warriors to say, look what rich, powerful white men do. There was a headline out today. I don't have it in front of me. I think in China or Hong Kong or somewhere in one of the Asian countries, some billionaire there has been accused of molesting children. This knows no race. It's a perversion. It's corruption. It's seedy. It's nasty. But it doesn't know any race. But I'll be darned if I'm going to sit here and allow people to be so distracted and so hyper-partisan that they think that this is just a one-party issue. Again, you have to remember the time frame. This investigation, this issue came to light in the early 2000s. Even though most people are just hearing about this now, maybe a few people back when the Miami Herald ran their story, But just in the last year, have people really been hearing anything about this? This was taking place in the early 2000s, and the people in charge of the justice system at the time was the Bush administration, and this reporter is going to drop a name here. People who were around for the Bush administration might recognize.
This is my biggest question, and I don't understand why no one is pointing fingers at and actually explaining why Barry Kircher cut the deal that he cut. The onus fell on the state attorney's office. As you know, after the chief of police, Michael Ritter, whom I spoke to at length for many, many years since I started the investigation back in 2009, Ritter said to me many times, I did not accept Kircher's deal. He wanted to charge him with a misdemeanor, no jail time, no restitution, and no registration as a sex offender. Then he took the case. Ritter takes the case to the feds.
The police chief.
That's, yes, Michael Ritter, the Palm Beach police chief, takes the case to the feds. That's when Acosta comes in. That's not until 2006. And so Acosta and his team, with Villafaña and others, they start to investigate. That takes 2 years. There's a 53-page indictment against Epstein. But what happens? Well, we're getting close to the 2008 presidential campaign. Ah. Hillary Clinton is the Democratic shoo-in at the time. President Obama was still not at the forefront. And so I believe, given the information that I have and what I've read, that at the very top of the food chain, they did not want to make, as the attorney general said to me when I interviewed him, Alberto Gonzalez, they did not want to make a political mess.
I'm going to replay that. I want people to understand, look, we're talking about the serial abuse and trafficking of girls as young as 12 years old. And there was a political consideration in this. The girls had already, this story had already been out for, what, 4 or 5 years by now? This had been discovered as a sex trafficking ring frequented by the elites and led by Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. But it was an election time. Now, you say, yeah, did you hear that, Mike? They weren't going to bring this Jeffrey Epstein thing up because Hillary Clinton was a shoo-in for the Democratic nomination and they wanted to protect Hillary Clinton. Well, I'm sure you're right about that. But listen to who's doing the protecting. If you don't know who Alberto Gonzalez is, you need to look it up.
Chief takes the case to the feds. That's when Acosta comes in. That's not until 2006. And so Acosta and his team, with Villafaña and others, they start to investigate. That takes 2 years. There's a 53-page indictment against Epstein. But what happens? Well, we're getting close to the 2008 presidential campaign. Hillary Clinton is the Democratic shoo-in at the time. President Obama was still not at the forefront. And so I believe, given the information that I have and what I've read, that at the very top of the food chain, they did not want to make, as the attorney general said to me when I interviewed him, Alberto Gonzalez, they did not want to make a political mess. So they basically tapped Acosta again, which is also why they hired Ken Starr and Jay Lefkowitz, who were the two.
Lots of high-profile names involved in this thing.
Absolutely. They were the two attorneys who negotiated the plea deal, meaning the non-prosecution agreement that was handed to Epstein, which, by the way, was not in order, as Acosta told me, because I have been speaking to Acosta for many years since the original investigation and the original arrest.
Alberto Gonzalez, George Bush's attorney general, looked at this horrific, horrific crime of trafficking young girls, sexually abusing them, destroying their lives, using them as sex toys for the elites, and he didn't want to create a political mess with Hillary Clinton on her ascendancy to the throne. Is that odd to anybody else? If we're to believe this idea that the Democrats and the Republicans are always looking to one-up each other and tear each other down, and it's all about this competition, and it's a struggle for the soul of America, we just need more Republicans. Or the left says, we've got to get rid of Trump. Yeah, behind the scenes, this is the kind of stuff going on. Hillary Clinton still walks the streets. I saw some headline. I did not have the stomach to look at it. The headline was something like, Hillary and Uma Abedin dance their cares away at some function or something. I couldn't even think about clicking on it. The last thing I want to see. Alberto Gonzalez, George Bush's attorney general, said, we don't want to cause any problems for Hillary heading into the 28th. I know it's a bunch of girls being sexually molested, sexually abused, and trafficked as young as 12 years old, but we don't want to cause any problems for Hillary Clinton. I'm telling you, the system is corrupt. It is not about the parties. You can elect as many Republicans as you want to. I encourage you to. And then hold them accountable. That's the part we fall down on. We elect them. We just don't hold them accountable to anything. We just elect them and then re-elect them and then re-elect them and re-elect them and re-elect them until they leave midterm so that the party machine can name their successor, who then becomes an incumbent, and then we vote for the incumbent because they have such great name recognition. All the while, we complain about the establishment Republicans and rhinos. It's a weird thing to watch happen. That's what happens. But go ahead, elect as many Republicans as you want. But you had one in the White House who had the Justice Department at his disposal, who looked the other way and covered up a serial pedophile ring that would have implicated the Clintons. Why? This is the story nobody else will look at. Everyone else will tell you this is a party thing. And the Democrats are up to their neck in it. I think I've got a couple more clips. I'm going to look and see. I had so many of them. I'm kind of juggling them. Just free. Trying to access all of these things I've listened to in the last few days. Anyway, I'm here to blow up this idea that we're being served by this government in any way, shape, or form. They've been protecting the powerful and the elites. It doesn't matter what party's in power. It does not matter. I know it makes you feel better that it's Republican president or Republican House, Republican Senate, but I'm telling you, man, the system keeps marching on. Can you imagine this story had really broken? If they had really gone after it hardcore, 2005, 2006, we might have been spared an awful lot of things, including Barack Obama. Of course, John McCain was taking him on. I'm not sure which was the worst outcome of that election, but They protect their own. And I do believe there's an intelligence aspect to that. We may talk about that when we come back. Stay with me. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
You tell me. All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. The number here is 601-879-0002. I'd like to weigh in on any of this, what you think about Acosta, what you think about the census thing. I actually had planned on talking about that more, but hearing the news break, if you're listening to this on a podcast, you won't hear that, but hearing the news break, that's the first time I've heard Trump's comments with Alexandria Acosta during the announcement that he is resigning. And did I hear this right, where Donald Trump just said he made a deal 12 years ago and everybody was happy with it then, but suddenly they're not happy with it now? I gotta tell you, President Trump, I don't know very many people should have been happy with that deal 12 years ago. Certainly the girls, the accusers who had come forward, who were not consulted on the plea deal, who were not told about the plea deal, which is a violation of law, This is one of the things that I think Alexander Acosta is actually guilty of, whether he was ordered to do it or not. These poor girls whose lives were destroyed as they were sexually abused were not told that Jeffrey Epstein was getting a 13-month sentence. It might have been 16 months, and maybe he got three off or something. They weren't told that he was going to get a private wing at the jail, not go to prison, not do hard time. They weren't told that they had offered him 12 hours a day of work release. I don't think anybody who's in favor of protecting innocent young girls was happy with the deal that Alexander Acosta put. Now, the people who wanted to sweep it under the rug and not expose the Clintons, they were happy about the deal because Jeffrey Epstein didn't sing, did he? Why would he? 13 months, private suite, 12 hours a day at home, a few nights at, spending the night at jail in my private suite there. I think I can take that one for the team. Nobody was happy with this thing. That's a mystifying statement to me. The only people happy with the sentence that Jeffrey Epstein got in 2008, I think it was Jeffrey Epstein. The only people happy with it was Jeffrey Epstein's attorneys. The only people happy with the deal Jeffrey Epstein got was all of the co-conspirators who were given anonymity in this thing. Immunity, I believe. Alexander Acosta in his press conference yesterday said, well, it's not really immunity. It's just something in that paragraph. I'm not quite sure exactly what he referred there, but my understanding was they just kind of gave a blanket immunity to anybody else, that they wouldn't seek any of these other players in this thing. I don't know anybody who was happy with that deal, outside of the people who should have been hanging. A couple of other clips that I have on it. One of the attorneys, now this is, as I criticize Trump wildly for that statement, I got to tell you, golly, people seem to be happy with the deal 12 years ago. They're suddenly not happy now. I mean, I got to tell you, it's because most people didn't know about the deal, President Trump. Nobody was happy with that thing. Anyway, to try to blunt all my Trump-supporting critics out there, here was one of the girls' attorneys talking about Trump. And for you leftists out there who are trying to tie this issue to Donald Trump, man, I got to tell you, this is going to be another big swing and a miss. You can try all you want if you want to. You stuck in there for 2 years with the Russia collusion stuff, and that didn't work out so well for you. So there's no stopping you for trying to tie Jeffrey Epstein's depravity to Donald Trump. I know you'll try, but this is what one of the girls' attorneys, one of the victims' attorneys, had to say about Donald Trump.
The only thing that I can say about President Trump is that he is the only person who, in 2009, when I served a lot of subpoenas on a lot of people, or at least gave notice to some pretty connected people that I was going, that I wanted to talk to them, he is the only person who picked up the phone and said, let's just talk. I'll give you as much time as you want. I'll tell you what you need to know, and was very helpful in the information that he gave. And gave no indication whatsoever that he was involved in anything untoward whatsoever, but had good information that checked out and that helped us, sure. And that we didn't have to take a deposition of him.
That was in 2009?
That was in 2009.
Sorry about that, guys. Sorry, Democrats. It appears that even the girl's attorney says, look, he's the only guy. He was the only one that would help us. But again, I point back, if you want to make this, try to make this a partisan issue, I ask you, why was Gonzalez, Attorney General under George Bush, Gonzalez, one of the ones who sent this order down, hey, just make this thing go away. We don't want to screw up things for Hillary Clinton. Alberto Gonzalez. This was an interesting one, too, that I did not know about. Again, this is the, what's this guy's name? Bradley Edwards. He's the attorney for one of the victims. And he's mentioning the fact that one of Epstein's employees, maybe a groundskeeper, I can't remember, a cleanup guy, something, one of his staff, had gotten a hold of the black book. Now, the backstory on this is, as I understand it, is that one of his employees found the black book, told the FBI he didn't find it. He kind of took it, stole it, and then he tried to sell it. Bad move. Probably not hard for many of us to imagine. If you have something like that, you know it's valuable to somebody. So he's just an idiot. But I didn't know the fate of this guy. So he takes the black book. Now, remember, Jeffrey Epstein did 13 months. He had a private wing of the jail to go to at night. During the day, he spent at his office 12 hours a day on work release, and he only did 13 months for the serial abuse and trafficking of young girls as young as 12. 12 years old. The guy who stole the black book got more time than Jeffrey Epstein. And then when he got out...
You mentioned a moment ago listing the massages. Is that the little black book, the Holy Grail, that every, you know, I think that's the way you refer to it in the documents, right?
Right, exactly. And that's actually a document that his housekeeper stole from him at some point in time. And a long story, but eventually tried to sell it to me, and then I had to cooperate with the FBI. And,
yeah, he gets more time than Epstein does.
He got more time, and then I think he died as soon as he
died
got
shortly
out of
after
prison,
that. Which I saw that.
Very unfortunate.
Huh. So the guy steals the little black book. He gets more time for Epstein for withholding the little black book from the FBI than Epstein gets for running a sex trafficking ring. And then did you hear what happened to him when he got out of jail? We'll play that again just in case we missed it.
And I had to cooperate with the FBI. And
he gets more time than Epstein does.
He got more time, and then I think he died as soon as
he died
got out
shortly
of prison,
after that, which I saw that.
Very unfortunate, because he was one of the only people that we talked to who showed up to a deposition that was not represented by a lawyer that was being paid for by Jeffrey Epstein, or he didn't take the fifth like many of the other witnesses.
He was willing to speak.
He was willing to speak and willing to tell the truth, and then he just decided to do something stupid and illegal and ruined all of the credibility that came along with him. I mean, that was one of the most unfortunate and sad parts of the entire investigation.
And strangely enough, when he got out of jail after doing more time than Epstein just for trying to sell the little black book, so you don't mess with the FBI. You can diddle around with a bunch of little girls, dozens and dozens, maybe hundreds of little 12-year-old girls. We'll slap you on the wrist, but don't you lie to the FBI. We'll throw the book at that. So he tries to sell the little black book, gets more time than Jeffrey Epstein, gets out of jail. And he's dead soon after.
All night with the king.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, final thoughts on the Epstein thing for me. Here's where I come down on this thing. I'm going to move on to other topics next hour. I want to play Ann Coulter first. I played this the other day, but I think it's worth revisiting. Ann Coulter on Jeffrey Epstein and who else may be involved. It's a shame because I don't think this will ever come to light. I'll make my prediction and then we'll never know if I was right.
I think the most interesting things, two things about this case are, number one, where does Jeffrey Epstein get his money? My theory, but my theory doesn't account for it all. We know it's not because he's investing money. He was, you know, a high school math teacher. This guy Wexner grabs him. Oh, you're a genius. And suddenly the amount of real estate and private planes this guy has. It is billions of dollars. You're not privately investing anything without ever, you know, moving the market. That is clearly untrue. My theory was that he was the concierge of this underage sex club, so to speak, and some wealthy men paid for this. But, you know, this is kind of a niche sexual fetish. Underage boys and
pedophilia.
Girls. I mean, how many billionaires do we have here? Which makes me, and let me throw the other second thing that I think is very interesting about this case. Epstein, according to both the girls' accounts, he wanted them to have sex with powerful men, come back to him and report on it, describe what they wanted, what their fetishes were, and he had cameras throughout the house. So this is obviously for blackmailing purposes. It just seems to me there is a bigger, something much bigger is behind this, perhaps a state sponsor, enough people for, as the evidence I described for the original state charge, forget the, you know, Democrat, Republicans, whatever. It just seems to me there's something, a very powerful force behind what's going on here, and I am still nervous about this not coming to a conclusion.
I think I share her nervousness. If there is a state player, if, as Alexander Acosta reportedly told the transition team when they were considering him for labor secretary, that he was an intelligence asset, the question becomes, whose intelligence was he an asset of? Was it ours? Was he setting up blackmailing sting operations for the CIA? That doesn't seem to make as much sense. And then it does lead me to look at the woman who was running this operation for Jeffrey Epstein. And I'm going to say this again because it's going to kind of lead into next hour. We are at the cusp of another war against an enemy of Saudi Arabia and Israel. Ghislaine Maxwell, who was running the operation for Jeffrey Epstein's father, was a Mossad and Israeli intelligence asset. Now, this is going to anger some people. Mike, how dare you? Know, we don't speak against Israel. They're our staunchest ally in the region. I'm telling you. intelligence agencies are up to no good in a lot of different areas. Having a bunch of very, very wealthy, very, very connected people blackmailed is valuable to darn near any country. But when you look at, and there's stories you can find that talk about Israeli intelligence and spies in the United States, it's the biggest friendly spy operation in the United States. It's just kind of widely known. There's many, many articles about it saying that there's friendly Israeli spies all around the place. But regardless of who this turns out to be, if it was our intelligence, Israeli intelligence, Saudi intelligence, who knows? Think about it for just a second. As we wrap ourselves in the flag and talk about our fine national security apparatus, whatever intelligence service that was working with Jeffrey Epstein was using 12-year-old girls as bait to get their way in something else. I believe the something else is coming up next hour, as I do False Flag Friday, as we stand at the cusp of war with Iran, with another one of some other country's enemies. No one that's a threat to us, to other countries. They were using 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old girls as bait in order to draw people in, to blackmail them, to do what they wanted. 12-year-old girls were used as bait by some intelligence agency. That should disgust everybody.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, and it's Friday. So on every Friday, around the 10 o'clock hour, I get into a segment called False Flag Friday. I think it's an important segment for people to understand the historical ways we've been brought to wars based on lies, manufactured events. This is history. This is not conspiracy theory. I hate that term. They throw the term conspiracy theory out there for you to try to marginalize anybody who disagrees with what the government tells you. And even that sounds crazy to some people, but it's just true. It's true. Now, this is history that we cover here, whether it's USS Liberty or the Gulf of Tonkin or the sinking of the Maine or weapons of mass destruction or babies thrown out of incubators. Many of us have lived through several of these things. Assad gassed his own people. The Russians invaded Crimea. All of these things are lies. And I don't think people have any idea of the magnitude of lies that are told, particularly on the national security front. Now, I'm all for protecting the United States and having a big, bold military. Man, there was a really sad story this morning on NBC. It was not that I could see, because I was looking to see if they would try to make it a Trump hit piece. They did not. Not that I heard, anyway. It was a story about Americans living on base in San Diego who were having to go to food pantries to get food. We're skipping meals so that their children could eat because they didn't have enough money. This was our troops. That's not just San Diego, but San Diego is a very expensive place to live. And even though they had free housing, the salary of the average enlisted guy there apparently wasn't enough to feed the family. Again, they didn't try to make this. I really felt like they were going to try to tilt this towards an anti-Trump piece. Difficult to do. But, you know, our people come out and try to get us all rallied up, say, oh, look at that. We give the largest raise. This is one of the things I can't stand. It's when a fact is twisted and presented to people as something different than it is. Mike Pence and Donald Trump have come out over the past year and talked about giving the military the largest pay raise they've had since, I don't know what year it was, not 2009, whatever. They make a big, we've given them the largest raise ever. And the crowd's just, woo, yeah. What the truth of the matter is, as inconvenient as it is, the military, the average enlisted guy just got a cost of living adjustment. It just happens to be that inflation was higher than previous years as recorded, so they got more of a cost of living adjustment. But you would think, to listen to these politicians, it's not just Trump and Pence, it's Republicans come out and they use this in stump speeches where they say, we've just given the military the largest raise they've seen in 10 years. And everybody, woo! Because nobody understands. It was just a cost of living increase. Now, the contracts that have gone to Raytheon, Boeing, United Technologies, the rest of the defense contractors, now those have seen some substantial increases. Much more than just a cost of living adjustment for the biggest defense contractors. But for our enlisted guys, they got a cost of living increase. And apparently some of them in San Diego are going to food banks and missing meals because they can't keep pace with the cost of living. Here's what's going on right now in Iran. I bring this up kind of on the tail of what we were talking about at the end of the last hour. I believe that there's a very good possibility, very real possibility, a lot of signs pointing to the fact that maybe the Epstein stuff was a Mossad operation. Maybe they needed to blackmail a bunch of very wealthy, very powerful people to get them to do their bidding. There's no telling who's ensnared in that thing. We probably will never know. And if it was Israeli intelligence or our intelligence services that was compromising people and blackmailing them, we will never know these things. Just that crazy Mike Madison on WYAB, the one who talks about it, and I will never be proven right because they will never investigate it, and people at that level are never brought to justice. So we will never know. What I do know is that we are sacrificing a lot of men, women, and taxpayer dollars in the Middle East to fight wars for countries that are not the United States. Now, for many people, that's okay. If we need to fight a war for Israel, then we fight a war for Israel. I know you're okay with that. It's funny, I was talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago, and they were making that point. Well, we are steadfast allies with Israel. We must fight. If Israel has a problem, we have a problem. We fight for Israel. And they have two small children that we had just been talking about. I said, would you send your kids over there to fight in a war for Israel? And he just changed the subject. Good guy, smart guy. I just think it's a sensical question. If we're going to let other people's kids go fight a war for another country, many of them for Saudi Arabia. I would say the same thing for Saudi Arabia. See, This is a tricky issue to get into because then you're labeled as an anti-Semite, the same way that if you questioned Barack Obama, you were called a racist. Just automatically, boom. You don't like Barack Obama? You're a racist. You don't like Hillary Clinton? You're a sexist. You don't like the Israeli government? You're an anti-Semite. See, we have snowflakes on every side. On every issue, there's snowflakes and people ready to label anybody who disagrees. My disagreement with the government of Israel is the same as my disagreement with the government of the United States. Doesn't make me anti-American. I have problems with the government in Germany. The government in France is terrible, man. They've been soft socialist over in France. I really don't like many governments at all, to be honest with you. They're all so powerful, they so abuse their people, and they enrich the elites. It's the same the world over. But the fact that I call out the French government doesn't mean I'm anti-French any more than calling out Angela Merkel in Germany makes me anti-German, or if I call out the government in Israel makes me some kind of an anti-Semite. Israel is too powerful in the United States, and we're fighting worse for them. And we are on the cusp of another one, a really bad one right now. This is what happened just a few days ago. Most people may not have even heard about it with the Epstein stuff and the census things crowding out all the headlines. According to a report, the British Heritage tanker was sailing out of the Persian Gulf and was crossing into the Strait of Hormuz area when it was approached by the Iranian boats. The Iranians ordered the tanker to change course and stop in nearby Iranian territorial waters, according to the officials. A U.S. aircraft was overhead and recorded video of the incident, although so far a video has not been released. I don't know if that's changed. I don't know if they have released this video since I first copied the story. Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, IRGC, denied reports that their patrol boats tried to stop a British oil tanker in the Persian Gulf, with IRGC's naval unit stating that there were no encounters between the Iranian warships and foreign vessels at the time when the incident is alleged to have taken place, according to Fars News. The IRGC also reiterated that they are prepared to, quote, act swiftly and decisively should they receive an order to capture any foreign ships. So Iran is saying, look, we will go out there and take a tanker if we want to. A couple of weeks ago, maybe 10 days ago, the British seized an Iranian tanker that was taking oil from Iran to Syria. Iranians don't like that. I guess we think that makes them bad or something. I can't imagine what would happen if the United States was trying to send a product, an oil shipment to England, and the Chinese confiscated the boat. I doubt very seriously that Americans would be okay with that, but we're supposed to think that Iranians need to just take whatever punishment is dealt out to them. So the UK seizes a Iranian tanker. The Iranians have said, we will seize a British tanker at some point. I think they've said something like, be very nervous, we're going to get one of your ships. So they've admitted they were going to do it, but they deny that this was one of their incidents. I don't know. Here's the problem, is that we can't trust anything that comes out of the media and out of governments when it comes to these stories. It is very possible that the Iranians sent out some of their little boats to cause some problems to a British ship they said they were going to. If they did, I don't know why they now deny it, but maybe they're just denying it because it was unsuccessful. But the problem is that most people take in these stories and say, look at that, look what the Iranians lashing out. And they ignoring even the fact that we're trying to strangle the country. When I come back, I'm going to get into Israel's found a smoking gun now, too. And again, I don't know if this is if they're telling the truth or they're lying, because there's no way to know. Americans just need to at least be suspicious. When you hear these pronouncements come out of the mouths of Benjamin Netanyahu or John Bolton or the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, be suspicious. They've lied to you so many times. I podcast this show. Just go back and get the last 52 episodes, Friday episodes, and play the first 30 minutes of the 10 o'clock hour. That's all I'm asking. And you'll get a lesson, a history lesson, in how many times we've been lied into wars. Remember your yellow cake uranium? You remember the yellow cake that led us into the Iraq war? You remember the babies thrown out of the incubators that led us into the Iraq the first time when they went into Kuwait? I mean, these are real recent things. So I'll get into this Israeli thing because, again, I'm telling you, Israeli intelligence, the Israeli government, they seem to be very influential in this government, and I may try to find this Pence clip. Mike Pence was out talking to the group called the Christians United for Israel, I believe. KUFI is the organization that they were talking to. You know, foreign influence on our government's not good, even if they're friends. I would think most thinking Americans would say that. If you just walked up to an American and you said, do you think a foreign government should influence our foreign policy? Do you think a foreign government should influence American policy? Most people would say no, particularly Trump supporters who say America first. But there always seems to be this glaring exception, which is that Israel should be able to control us. And I mean, I just don't get it. I know there's some prophecy stuff. I've had this conversation with people before. But I just don't get it. I don't get it. We'll get to this. Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu's got a smoking gun on Iran. I don't know if it's true or not, but I'm going to report it here because he's been saying this kind of stuff since 1992. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
There's a few things you're really not supposed to talk about, and one of them is Israeli influence on the U.S. government. I've just noticed in this weird trend where a lot of enemies are named in the Middle East that have no way of really attacking us in any meaningful way. I mean, I guess they could muster some terrorism together, but I'm not sure why they would even do that if we were not, you know, littering the Middle East with military bases and invading countries over there. But I guess you could make the case that maybe they'd lash out at us some way. But we're keep getting told these countries are this big threat to the United States, and I can't help noticing they're not. And so I don't really know another way to cover it than to say Iran's not a threat to the United States. Neither was Iraq. Neither is Syria. Neither is Lebanon. I mean, none of these places are a threat to us. Founding fathers would think this was insanity, what we're doing, but we're supposed to ignore that. This was Mike Pence. He went to the Christians United for Israel's conference, and this is what he said.
And let me assure you, while any peace will undoubtedly require compromise, you can be confident of this. The United States of America will never compromise the safety and security of the Jewish state of Israel. In the wake of all those actions, finally, the president also made one other promise. He promised to stand up to the world's leading state sponsor of terror. And he did just that when he withdrew the United States of America from the disastrous Iran nuclear deal.
His speaking style drives me insane. You know, I guess he must have learned. Did you see that Jeb Bush moment? It actually is in my show intro where you hear Jeb Bush go, please clap. Jeb Bush did this campaign stop at some, looked like a retirement home or something, and he did one of his big swelling speech where he leads to the crescendo and he stops and there was nothing. And he was reduced to saying, please clap. It was just, you know, after Donald Trump had already pointed out the patheticness and the low energy Jeb, that was just too beautiful to pass up. It's why it's in my thing. But it's like Mike Pence learned from that. And so he's got this speaking style where he makes sure you're gonna applaud. And it works every time because it is so obvious. It is like a flat, it just drives me insane. It's pandering. It's
There will be no more pallets of cash to the mullahs.
That is such a distortion of history. I'm sorry. He is playing these people in this crowd. He is playing the American people. Yes, this is Mike Pence. He's Trump's buddy. I know I'm a terrible, disloyal person. The pallets of cash thing that keeps being used, this disingenuous use of what happened during that time. The Iranians got their own cash back. Do Americans really believe that in a negotiation that America gets everything it wants and the other country gets nothing? And it was not taxpayer dollars. We didn't send over money just from the Treasury, from the general account. This was money we had frozen, money of theirs we had frozen. Was some of this cash taken out and probably given out in bribes or corruption in Iran? I'm almost positive it was. The Iranian government, I'm sure, is corrupt. But it was their money. They were stealing from each other, essentially. They were taking money from generations before, money that had been put down as a down payment on weapons back in the 70s that we gave back to them. And if they parse that out among themselves, I'm sure there's corruption with it. But Mike Pence and everybody who says this, John Bolton, Mike Pompeo, Fox News, any talking head who uses this pallet of cash, hundreds of billions to the Iranians that Obama did to make it look like a Democrat-Republican issue, they think you are stupid. They think you are so stupid that you cannot do the most basic research to find out where that money that went to Iran came from. It was their money to start with. We undid sanctions. Money that was frozen was unfrozen. I don't know how many times to say this because I'm always stunned that it has continued to be used. And listen to this crowd reaction to it. That's right. Pallets of cash to the mullahs. Well, you know what? It was their money. I'm sure they, no telling what they did with that money, but it was their money.
Pastor Hagee mentioned that I served in the Congress of the United States. I was on the Foreign Affairs Committee. Back when I was in the Congress, there was actually a bipartisan group of members of Congress who brought together sanctions on Iran years ago. Those sanctions were isolating a regime that was and bringing tremendous pressure on it. But in 2015, we all remember, the Iran nuclear deal was signed. All of that pressure went away. The previous administration's so-called deal didn't prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon. It simply delayed it for roughly a decade. In exchange, the deal gave away billions of dollars in cash and sanctions relief that Iran has used to fund more terrorist attacks on innocents across the region. President Trump withdrew from the Iran nuclear deal, and we have reimposed every last sanction that was lifted. And under this president, we've implemented a maximum pressure campaign to change Iran's malign behavior and hold the regime accountable for its destructive actions. It's remarkable to think that as we speak, our actions are already having an effect. They're cutting off the regime's ability to support their terrorist minions across the Middle East. The Iranian economy is...
Well, the Saudis' terrorist minions, you may have heard of Saudis' terrorist minions. Saudi Arabia's terrorist outreach groups. Have you ever heard of these? ISIS? ISIL? Al-Nusra? And you may have heard of Al-Qaeda. Has anybody ever heard of Al-Qaeda? Yeah, that's one of the Wahhabist sect's most important franchises. Al-Qaeda, you may have heard about it. I remember something in the early 2000s. There was some big headline about Al-Qaeda in the United States, but we don't hold them accountable.
Reeling under unprecedented U.S. sanctions. Now Iran must choose between caring for its people and continuing to fund its proxies who spread violence and terrorism throughout the region and breathe out murderous hatred against Israel. Over the last several months, despite promises and hopes to the contrary in 2015, Iran has been even increasing more of their malign activity and violence in the region. We've all witnessed it. Last month, Iran attacked tankers passing near the Strait of Hormuz, and they downed an unmanned American drone. And last week, Iran exceeded the amount of low-enriched uranium it can have. Today, it actually proclaimed it was going to start enriching uranium beyond the levels permitted by the agreement.
Am I insane? Am I the one that is completely insane? We got out of that deal. Why does Iran still have to abide by the deal? Why does Mike Pence, who just said we ripped up that deal, why does the other country still have to perform their half of the deal if we told them we're out? Can you imagine Tiger Woods signing a deal with Nike and Nike going, well, you know what? We're not going to pay you anymore, but you still need to wear our stuff. That Nike swoosh has got to be all, no, we're not paying you anymore. We're out on our side, but you need to live up your side. You continue to be a spokesman. We're going to need you in for some commercials. You need to make sure that you wear our apparel all the time. No, we're not paying you. We've already told you. We're ripping up that deal, but we expect you to continue. I mean, seriously, am I insane? How do you hold somebody accountable for a deal that you blew up?
Let me be clear.
Oh, he's going to be clear. Get ready.
Iran should not confuse American restraint with a lack of American resolve.
Oh, so inspiring. So inspiring. According to Breaking Axios, an Israeli Channel 13 report, the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, has uncovered damning evidence of... I didn't even print this page out. Sorry. Radioactive material in an Iranian nuclear site. The site at Turguzba, Iran, which had previously been subject to a prop-laden Netanyahu presentation before the UN in September 2018, was used, this is a quote from the Israeli group, was used to store nuclear equipment and material, alleges Israel. However, Iran has long asserted the warehouse is nothing but a carpet factory. It appears Israel's elite intelligence agency, Mossad, was behind passing on the initial information regarding Iranian efforts to hide evidence to the IAEA and UN inspectors. Prime Minister Netanyahu had previously accused of Iran of covering its tracks, allegedly removing 15 kilograms of undeclared enriched uranium from the facility a mere month ago, prior to his UN speech. Now, I don't know who's right or who's wrong in this. This could be an absolute lie. It could be the truth. The Iranians may be doing something that was subverting this deal. It's never been proven. They were supposedly living within the confines of the nuclear deal before we ripped it up. But the bottom line is, for the purposes of this show, for the purposes of this segment, they're not done trying to get this a war with Iran. They're not going to stop. Venezuela, they're still even doing things in Venezuela, although that really is pretty small potatoes in the grand scheme of things. Iran is the war they want. It's the last country on Wesley Clark's list that he heard about back in 2001, before the nuclear deal, before the so-called pallets of cash, before anything that's happened over the last 18 years. Iran was already on a list for regime change. If that doesn't open people's eyes, I don't know what will. They're the last one on the list. They are the bookend to wrecking the Middle East. And Mike Pence, Mike Pompeo, John Bolton want this war. They're going to try to get this war. One quick aside as I finish this part of the segment up. I just thought, I just found it interesting. They did some polling. This was military.com. It really leads me into some questions that I probably won't have time for, really. But a majority of veterans taking part in a new research survey study say that the cost and burden of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan outweigh any successes or progress made in either conflict. Pew Research Center report published Wednesday states that 64%, or almost two-thirds of veterans polled in a new survey, said the Iraq war was not worth fighting, and 58% said the same about the war in Afghanistan. This was a survey of 1,284 U.S. military veterans between May 14th and June 3rd. Now, what was sad about this, as somebody who's voted Republican most of my life, who considers myself a conservative, a real small, limited government, founding fathers, constitutionalist conservative, the Republican vets were a little bit more in favor of the wars than the Democratic vets were. And I don't know. I still am trying to unpack what's conservative about endless wars and why we so cheer on military adventurism around the world, because we're supposed to be the party that understands that spending will bankrupt a country. We're supposed to be the country that understands that building an empire is too big of a government to us to have. We're supposed to have small, limited government, but the military and the empire that we've built makes for the largest government in the history of all of mankind, yet somehow that's been sold to conservatives as patriotic. But the bottom line is, while there's a difference in party, as there always is, everybody views everything through a partisan lens. Nothing is objective in the society anymore. It's all got to be, you got to play, you got to view everything through the lens of your team. But overwhelming, or almost two-thirds of military veterans understand Afghanistan was a mistake. It's not quite as high with Iraq. Two-thirds think that Iraq was a mistake. It's not quite as high with Afghanistan, but they think Afghanistan was a mistake, yet we're still there. And I'm telling you, I don't know if I'll be here or not to report on it. They're gonna get this war with Iran, and we're all going to be very sorry for it. I was watching, I've been watching The Americans, which is the FX series on Russian spies in the United States. Entertaining series. Took place back in the 80s during the Cold War, which is an interesting time to go back and study, particularly the CIA versus the KGB, that kind of stuff. But they were, on the episode I watched the other night, they were showing, you know, because it takes place in the 80s, the family had all gotten together to watch The Day After, which was the nuclear movie, TV show with Jason Robards. I can't believe I can remember that, but it was. And this was, it was a very jarring thing in the 1980s. I've gone back and watched it since then. It's kind of funny. The effects are so bad. You know, when you're in the 1980s, before all the high-tech stuff, you know, you watch some movies and you're like, wow, that was a great movie. Then you go back and watch it 20 years later and you go, golly, that was cheesy. Well, at the time, when The Day After came out, it was a very jarring thing. It got a lot of conversations because it brought this realism to the idea of what would happen if nuclear war really broke out. And it was the thing we were all worried about, because there was these two nuclear powers that were facing off with each other, and we didn't really know what would ultimately happen. It's something that we should probably put out again. And I started thinking, too, though, with this Iran deal, because I've talked about this, too. The average American doesn't understand what's happening around the world to any great degree at all. They still believe the palace of cash, and we gave them hundreds of billions of dollars. A lot of people out there too dumb or too simple or too lazy to work around and find the truth of that statement. But what people also don't understand is that our military empire, and if it happens into a war with Iran, what is going to happen is the U.S. dollar is where we're really going to get hit. A real, real serious possibility that if we do not change our tact with our foreign policy, that the world will abandon the use of the U.S. dollar because we have abused it. We've weaponized our dollar. We're sanctioning everybody around the world. People are sick of it, and they're looking to ways to go around the U.S. dollar. I'd like to do a movie called The Day After that shows the day after the dollar loses its world reserve currency status. The day after China, Russia, Iran, India, and the European countries start trading in something other than dollars. I'd like to do a movie called The Day After the Dollar, because that's what people need to wake up to now. Americans think they buy into all the propaganda about Iran, and they think we're going to fight another one of these televised wars where we get to see all of our smart bombs and the night vision stuff, and it's going to be an overwhelming, Tom Cotton tells you it's going to take 2 days. And Americans are ready for another one of these things, like Syria, far away, never saw the casualties, didn't really see much about it, a couple of headlines every now and then. You think we're going to fight another one of these remote wars that doesn't affect us at all? And I think a movie like The Day After the Dollar would show Americans exactly what we're messing with. So I'm telling you, that's what's going to end up happening, and Iran may be the tipping point for that. It's already started it, because people want to trade with Iran. We finally isolated the one country that China, Russia, and European allies want to trade with. They want to do business with Iran, and we're trying to tell them no. And so they are going to undermine the U.S. dollar. Mark my words, you're going to see this. This is not going to be another televised quick war where we just see footage of aircraft carriers with our impressive jets taking off from them and a few videos of smart bombs, and that's it. It's going to be substantially worse than that. Now, Americans need to wake up to it, and they need to call Mike Pence out on speeches like this. They're going to get this war. It's sad, but true. Be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
I try to finish every Friday show on a little bit of a lighter note and a little bit of poking fun at the left. Now, this first story, this just kind of cracked me up. I don't know if you saw this fight at Disneyland. I know Kim Wade talked about it the other day. It was bizarre. I mean, it really was. I don't like to see that kind of stuff. It really just destroys your faith in humanity just about to see idiots on display like this. I don't know their political bent, but I did crack up at this reporter's kind of play-by-play of this, because this is really video you have to see, but boy, this girl took a stab at trying to play-by-play the fight at Disneyland.
A man in a red shirt yells profanity at a woman who spits in his face and pushes him back. He then punches her in the head several times. Another man in a white t-shirt steps in to box it out with the man as kids are crying and one yells stop it. Another woman in a tan tank top steps in and the man in the white shirt lands a right to the left side of her face. Fellow pargoers then...
Sorry, buffering.
Step in as someone yells, call security. Even a janitor tries to intervene. The man in the red shirt then...
I took great offense to that as somebody who used to own a janitorial company. What do you mean even a janitor tried to step in? That seemed very belittling to me.
Grabs the woman by her ponytail braids, and that woman then ends up fighting again with the other woman as a family member in a black shirt tries to break it up. Then the mother of the man who jumped on the woman initially was knocked down. That lady had earlier been in a scooter right before the fight. The red-shirted man then commenced to slapping the daylights out of the woman in the ponytail and knocked her down as bystanders intervened. Then, when the man in red found out the woman in the tan tank knocked his mom down, he thought she did it on purpose, and punched her dead in her nose and began pummeling her head repeatedly and thrusting body shots while dragging her by her hair. That's when several men in the park...
Buffering.
...stepped in and took him down, restraining him, including one man who put the man in a chokehold. Then finally, Disneyland security arrived. Meanwhile, people were shocked and in disbelief. Today, park goers still can't believe it after...
I don't know. It's just something about that play-by-play. She did an excellent job. She really recapped it. I don't know if listening to the audio, it's got to be wildly confusing, but she gave it a shot. As again, I don't know the political bent of these people who were making such absolute asses of themselves in the middle of Disneyland. And where in the world were the police and security? Disneyland has got to be crawling with security. They filtered through millions of people, and it took them forever to respond to what it was essentially a massive brawl, punching women in the face. There's some hope on the other side of this. I'm going to tell you, I keep telling you this, there's a theme here. If we just hang on, the truly crazies on the left are going to breathe themselves out. I know it's hard to have patience for them to go away, but I do believe in 40, 50, 60 years, there may not be any more of these whack jobs left. I'll tell you about that on the other side of this break.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Final segment here on the Mike Madison Show for the week. I want to remind you it's Friday, so if you're looking for something to do this weekend, somewhere to take the kids to eat, want to take a date out, or just want to go to get some good quality food, check out Your Pie up in Gluckstadt. They're at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway up there by Germantown High School. Fantastic food there. Great pizza place. Got paninis, got salads, got gelato, got craft beers, got televisions up there. So whatever you want to check out on television's good, and maybe if we get some decent weather. You can even go out. I like their little deck out there. I enjoy going out there. It's a veteran-owned business with fantastic food, a great staff. Pizza's the way you want it. If you got food allergies, they can address that. If you want to stay away from gluten, you want to stay away from meat, you want to be a vegan, you want to be non-dairy, they can take care of all of those things. They're also available on the Waiter app. So you don't have to make the drive out there. I love their little restaurant, but if you don't want to have time or don't want to head out, download the Waiter app and look for Your Pie there. Anyway, support those guys. Like I say, it's veteran-owned and just really, really good food. You can do two good things at once. So check out Your Pie up in Gluckstadt. We're going to finish up with a couple of uh-oh moments for Democrats and for the left. We'll start with this one. This guy's name is Antonio Moore, and I keep running across clips of his. I think he may be kind of a YouTube star, but it turns out, from his point of view, Kamala? I should know that by now. Kamala Harris is not black enough.
My family is destroyed as a result of slavery. Kamala's isn't. My family is destroyed as a result of American slavery. Kamala Harris's isn't. Kamala Harris has presented no black agenda. Kamala Harris has presented no black agenda. The housing plan that she submitted... The housing plan that she submitted, Yvette Carnell will hash it out later on this evening. Tune in. But it's nonsense. It is not focused on black folks. It is focused on white people that will gentrify. She set the income threshold at $100,000. She's not going to look at wealth that's going to be transferred. So we're not going to do any real work to make sure that white people who come from wealth that are going to inherit wealth, white millennials, are not getting the bulk of this program. We're going to set the threshold so high that they're going to fall into the group and maybe take most of the money. Understand that the middle black family in this nation makes $35,000. How do you set the threshold at $100,000? Because you're not making this program for black folks. How do you get to go on SNS's festival and say that a program that is not for black folks is a black homeownership racial wealth gap closure? She don't know the numbers. She don't understand the racial wealth gap, and she don't understand ADOS. She doesn't know enough to be having this discussion. Kamala Harris does not have enough policy undergirding to have a discussion about the racial wealth gap. She'll get out there and talk about it and then give a solution that they need even for black folks, let alone ADOS folks. I don't know how this woman is running.
Uh-oh, Kamala. You're not black enough. ADOS being American descendants of slaves. You know what's sad to me about that is the guy sounds like he's an intelligent guy. You know what I mean? Like he studies the issues. He's engaged. He's massively wrong and propagandized too. And so sad they've turned him into a victim. Sounds like a guy that could probably really do something in life. But they've turned him into a victim where he starts his presentation off with that American slavery destroyed his life. An institution that was gone well over 150 years ago. Still destroying his life. And that's the victimhood side of the left. Now, as I say, there is some good news to people who are kind of sick of some of these whack job leftists. I don't think they're going to be around for much longer. I mean, much longer, kind of like, you know, demographically. It takes a while for those kinds of changes. Pop star turned Planned Parenthood activist Miley Cyrus will not consider having a child due to global warming related anxiety. vowing not to reproduce until she is confident her offspring can, quote, live on an earth with fish in the water. I don't know. Say that again out loud. I'm reading too much into that. There are still fish in the water, aren't there? My understanding? I haven't been fishing in a long time, but it is my understanding. So I think that, you know, a lot of these leftists, they're going to breed themselves out. Now, here's another uh-oh for the left. The global warming crisis that is causing Miley Cyrus to not reproduce. A new scientific study could bust wide open deeply flawed fundamental assumptions underlying the controversial climate legislation and initiatives such as the Green New Deal, namely the degree to which climate change is driven by natural phenomenon versus man-made issues measured as carbon footprint. Scientists in Finland found, quote, practically no anthropogenic man-made climate change after a series of studies. Quote, during the last 100 years, the temperature increased about 0.1 degrees Celsius because of carbon dioxide. The human contribution was about 0.01 degrees Celsius, the Finnish researchers bluntly state in one among a series of papers. This has been collaborated by a team at Kobe University in Japan, which has furthered the Finnish researchers' theory. Quote, new evidence suggests that high-energy particles from space known as galactic cosmic rays affect the Earth's climate by increasing cloud cover, causing an umbrella effect. The just-published study has found, a summary of which has been released in the journal Science Daily. The findings are hugely significant given this umbrella effect, an entirely natural occurrence, could be the prime driver of climate change warming and not man-made factors. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Boy, I got to tell you, if you lose Russian collusion and global warming in the same year, you're really scrambling and for a platform. I should have read that last sentence in Mike Pence speak. Could be the prime driver of climate warming and not man-made factors. It could have been an applause line that I could have run for the last of the show. Anyway, they're breeding themselves out. And they may find out that climate change was a hoax like the rest of us knew all along. Anyway, that's all the time I've got today. Have a great weekend. I really hope New Orleans does not take this storm on the chin. Hopefully this is just media hype to get us to watch. But boy, pray for New Orleans. They don't need another bath. Have a great weekend up here. I'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.